यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वन यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परमेश्वराचार्य अष्टोदर श्री श्रीमद् एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परमेश्वराचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल्ड द पास टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र टेक्स्ट 3 रिपीट आफ्टर मी तस्यानुचरितं राजन् ऋषिभि तत्वदर्शिभि श्रुतं हि वर्णितं भूरि त्वया सीतापतेर्मुहुः तस्यानुचरितं राजन् ऋषिभि तत्वदर्शिभि श्रुतं हि वर्णितं भूरि त्वया सीतापतेर्मुहुः तस्यानुचरितं राजन् ऋषिभि तत्वदर्शिभि श्रुतं हि वर्णितं भूरि त्वया सीतापतेर्मुहुः तस्य ऑफ हिम the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra and his brothers. Anucharitam, transcendental activities. Rajan, O King, Maharaj Parikshit. Rishibhi, by great sages or saintly persons. Tattva Darshibhi, by persons who know the absolute truth. Shrutam, have all been heard. He, indeed, Varnitam, as they have been so nicely described. Bhuri, many. Twaya, by you. Sitapate, of Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita. Muhu, more than often. Translation. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Modern Rakshasas, posing and educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Ramachandra's activities only as presented by the Tattva Darshis, those who know the absolute truth. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadviddi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, upadekshantide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is a tattva-darshi in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are so many Ramayans or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes, Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imagination, speculation, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit, you have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayans or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities. And there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattva Darshis, Jnaninas Tattva Darshina, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate. This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishibhi Tattva Darshibhi. Although the Ramayana is composed by Valmiki, is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vande Shri Udhapada Kamalam Shri Utap Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shiv Anushite Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpa Hari Tarubhishya Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today we are reading the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. This is a section in the Srimad Bhagavatam which is an intersection of two literatures, the greatest of the two literatures, the life of Lord Krishna, which is described very much in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the life of Lord Ramachandra. Just before entering into the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of, in the 9th canto of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. And there is an amazing interrelationship between the two. The 5th canto, there is a particular chapter in which Shukadeva Goswami is describing the dynasty of Priyavrat, in which Rishabhdev appeared. And then in one translation, Shukadeva Goswami mentions three dynasties. He says the Raghu dynasty is famous because Lord Ramachandra appeared in it. He says the Yadu dynasty is famous because Lord Krishna appeared in it. And then he says that the dynasty of Priyavrat is famous because Rishabhdev appeared in it. And in the purport, and in the particular next verse, Shukadeva Goswami presents a very, he kind of goes away from the subject matter. And then the verse he mentions is, he says, "My dear king, the supreme person Mukunda is actually the maintainer of the members of the Pandavas and the Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend and director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or a servant. This means he worked just as ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily. But he does not easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him." Here, Shukadeva Goswami just goes away from the flow of the verses, because he is glorifying the dynasties of powerful people in which the Lord has appeared directly. And then here, he is going away, he is telling that that Lord Krishna has not appeared in the Kuru dynasty. Now, what Shukadeva Goswami is doing is, he is acting as an expert speaker. Generally, when a speaker speaks, he sees the audience and speaks accordingly. Sometimes, when you see that the audience is not attentive, then you have to tell some story or something which kind of captures the attention. So, what Shukadeva Goswami is seeing is that, he is seeing that his audience, which is Parikshit Maharaj, is getting very morose. Why is getting morose? He is getting morose because the great kings in the Raghu dynasty, Lord Ram appeared. In the Yadu dynasty, Krishna appeared. But Priyavrat Maharaj's dynasty, Rishabhdev appeared. Then he is thinking, who appeared in Kuru dynasty? No one appeared. So Shukadeva Goswami captures that, and then he tells him that no doubt that the Lord has not appeared in your dynasty, but your dynasty is even more glorious because Krishna is constantly there serving you. As a friend, he is serving you as a servant, he is serving you as a messenger, he is constantly there to serve you. So Shukadeva Goswami kind of gives an assurance that, you know, even though Krishna is not there, not present in your dynasty, but your dynasty is more glorious. So the point Shukadeva Goswami is making is that always the connection is important. What is your connection to your ancestry? What is your connection to the past? And our connection, sometimes we might feel that, you know, who are we? We are no one, you know, compared to all these great kings. And especially when Parikshit Maharaj feels that. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that connections are important. Like in today's day and age, when we are, you know, asked to speak who we are, we always tell our first name. Most people don't even speak the second name or the surname, right? Because it's not considered fashionable. And even the first name is not considered fashionable. You have to give a short name, you know, small nickname. That's considered very fashionable. But in the previous times, they would mention name and the connection. Your parents' name, your village name, you know, that would be the connection. So, in the Vaishnava literature, the connection is the Das. Like, I remember when I got initiated. After my initiation, I was very inquisitive to know what is the meaning of my name. Many people ask me, what is the meaning of Shubhavilas? So I was very inquisitive. So I went to Maharaj and asked him, what is the meaning of Shubhavilas? Of course, there was a previous thing. There was another devotee who went and asked him before that, what is the meaning of his name? So Maharaj was a little irritated. So when I asked him, he said, very simple thing. He said, read all of Srila Prabhupada's books, you will get answers to all your questions. That's it. So I was thinking, you know, how do I
I thought that if I read Srila Prabhupada's book, somewhere the name Shubha Vilas will be mentioned. Then I actually read the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita, nowhere the name was mentioned. NOD, nowhere. So then I realized that what he was trying to say was much more deeper. What he was trying to say was that if you read Srila Prabhupada's books, what you'll understand is your name is not important, but the das behind the name is important. Because what is important is your connection. The das indicates your connection to Krishna. And the name indicates Krishna's names. So therefore, our connection is very important. And that's where we enter into the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that Parikshit has already heard so much the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And now Shukadeva Goswami is summarizing all those pastimes in short. Here, there's a very interesting thing that Prabhupada talks about. He talks about how modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have a doctorate, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality. So I was hearing a very interesting lecture in which the discussion about these prefixes or suffixes at the end of the name, you know, BE or MBBS or MD, those prefixes. The devotee was mentioning that how people are so interested in those few letters, MA, BA, PhD, you know, those 3-4 letters, that they think that those letters make the biggest difference in life. You know, especially people who are very much, proud of their modern education. And one devotee, Brahmatirtha Prabhu, who had come many years back, name was Bob Cohen, when he met Prabhupada. He's of course a scientist, and he made this point. He said that he met one person in New Delhi, and in his card, he gave him a visiting card. And that in that card it was written, PhD BF. So Brahmadeep was thinking, what is the meaning of this PhD BF? And he just asked him, what is the meaning of this PhD BF? He said, PhD BF means PhD but failed. He tried to attempt to do his PhD, but he failed. So he said, attempting to do PhD is at least a greater qualification than not writing anything at all. So he preferred to write PhD BF. Of course, nobody really goes to inquire what is the meaning of BF. But the point is that people are so attached to these doctorates or to these degrees that one gets. So Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning that one should hear the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra not just by concussion or by one's intelligence, but you should read what is presented by the Tattvadarshibis. And that's why when we know how the Ramayana was brought up, how the Ramayana came about, it's a very interesting thing that it never came about by somebody's super intelligent concoction. You know, it can't be a concocted literature, just like Govindra was mentioning about Mahabharata. Even if somebody says that Mahabharata's concoction is written, you know, just by somebody, it's quite amazing how much somebody can concoct. Because there was a person who wrote a book on just the names which are mentioned in the Mahabharata, the names of the different personalities involved in the Mahabharata. And when this person wrote this book, he only wrote the name Karna and one sentence who Karna was. Duryodhan, one sentence who Duryodhan was. Like that, he wrote the names of everyone which is mentioned, which is listed in the Mahabharata. And just that became a book of 250 pages. So even if somebody wants to concord, how much can he concord? How much can he speculate? Writing an ordinary novel of 3 or 4 characters is too much. And here, having 250 pages of just names, that's really too much. And again, the Ramayana, the way in which the Ramayana came about is a very interesting way. I just thought that since the theme is Ramayana, and since we should just focus on Ramayana and discuss a little bit from the Ramayana, what lessons we can derive from this story. And the way Ramayana was revealed was, it was revealed like a television transmission to Valmiki. Valmiki was actually able to see Lord Ram in front of him and see all the activities of Lord Ram in front of him. He was able to see and experience Lord Ram's laughter. He was able to experience Lord Ram's crying. He was able to experience Lord Ram's separation. Because Valmiki was able to experience all these things so powerfully, the book Ramayana has come out so powerful. one devotee was mentioning that if you compare the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, of course, we don't compare these literatures, but even if you try to compare, the fact is that Ramayana is a much more powerful literature than the Mahabharata. The reason being that Mahabharata has 25% description of Lord Krishna, Krishna's beauty and Krishna's words, Krishna's activities, but 75% is war. So therefore, one devotee mentioned Mahabharata is a golden book of fights. The golden book of fights. But Ramayana is only 25% is only fight. The Yuddha Kanda is only the 1/6 of the Ramayana, only the last canto. But the maximum Ramayana is description of the beauty of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. And therefore, yeah, so point was Valmiki, he was revealed the Ramayana. He didn't just speculate. And the main thing is that to get access to any knowledge, there has to be austerity. There has to be austerity. Like one person was mentioning that in Russia, they have, in the NASA, the Space Research Center in Russia, they have a payroll. And in the payroll, there are two people who are employed who are Sanskrit scholars. So Russian spaceship, they have two Sanskrit scholars employed, full time. And the only duty of these Sanskrit scholars is to study the Vedic literature and try to understand how to use the Vedic technology in making spaceships. They specifically study Bharadvaj Muni's Vimana Shastra and try to understand how Vimanas were made in the previous times. But the point is, just by reading Sanskrit, can you understand? Just like in any acquiring any knowledge, there is austerity involved. What to speak of the Vedic knowledge, even in studying the today's mundane education, there is a lot of austerity involved. But the austerity is different totally. The austerity of today, students, to get knowledge, they have to attend schools, and after schools, they don't understand anything in the school. Then they have to attend tuitions. Even after tuitions, many people don't understand. Then they have a private tutor, you know, just tutoring them. So there is so much of austerity involved in studying. On top of that, after you have private tuitions also, you don't understand. Then you have to copy during the exams. Even copying is an austerity. It's not easy to copy. Get caught all the time. So copying is... So like that, there is so much austerity involved. More than that, people sit up late nights. I met a MBBS student a few days back. He was telling me that during his exams, 3 nights constantly he never slept. You know, practically no sleep for 3 consecutive nights. It's an austerity, definitely. But it's a very... funny type of austerity. And many people don't have time to have bath. Many people don't have time to, you know, like he was telling me that to remain awake, they have to constantly drink some kind of coffee. Constantly drink coffee so that they can remain awake. So just drinking coffee is an austerity so much. It's such a huge quantity just to remain awake. But the austerity of the past is totally different. The austerity of the sages is totally different. Getting up early in the morning, having a cold water bath, and trying to control everything that goes into the 5 senses, and trying to execute things only that are favorable to the cultivation of devotion. All these are austerities, but it's a very different type of austerity. Therefore, if the scientists of NASA are trying to understand what Bharadvaj Muni is trying to present in the Vimana Shastra, where is the austerity? The austerity may be in studying Sanskrit and absorbing the words, but where do you absorb the power? The spiritual power that is involved in these books. So therefore, these books are not just ordinary books, but there is a lot of absorption of the acharyas involved in these books. Unless somebody is absorbed in these literatures are not going to make any sense. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when the seventh canto, the second part of the seventh canto came out first time, Prabhupada was in his room, and these devotees, they wanted to give the first, you know, the printed copy to Srila Prabhupada. So they got it. By the time they reached Srila Prabhupada, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And Srila Prabhupada was awake. So the lights were on in his room. So they went inside his room and they tried to find Prabhupada. But he was not there. Then they saw that he was in the bathroom. And they waited for Prabhupada to come out. And as soon as Prabhupada came out, these devotees were hiding the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, behind their backs. You know, just two. And they were smiling. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, excited, he asked them, "What do you have?" So they said, "We have got the 7th canto, second part for you, Prabhupada." And the Prabhupada immediately picked up the book. And this is the book that he himself wrote. It's not something that, you know, somebody else wrote and they're presenting it to him. He himself wrote the book. So he picked it up, sat with it went through front cover, back cover, then he went through all the pictures, then he sat down, and he actually read 40 pages constantly, continuously 40 pages he read. I mean, it's amazing that there's so much absorption involved in compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the same absorption involved in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And unless Srila Prabhupada had this absorption, how could he transform lives? Therefore, writing of these literatures is not just an ordinary activity of some novel writing, like what is done today, but is an activity of great amount of devotion and absorption. So therefore, Ramayana was written down by Valmiki Muni with that kind of an absorption. And the Ramayana was written when Lord Ram was present. This is the difference between the Puranas and the Itihasas. Ramayana and Mahabharata, these are two books that are called the Itihasas. Itihasas means history. And Itihasas are written when the person is present. Like Mahabharata is also an Itihas. Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata when Lord Krishna was present on this earth. And again, Ramayana is Itihasa because Ramayana was written when Lord Ramachandra was present on the earth. And Ramayana was written when Lord Ram was about 40 years old. When Ram was born, this is the rough the age span of the Ramayana. When he was 12 years old, Lord Ram was married to Mother Sita. And then they stayed together for 12 more years. And when Lord Ram was 25 years old, he was going to be coronated as a king. And when Lord Ram was going to be coronated as a king, that was the time when Kaikeyi sent him to exile. And 14 years he remained in exile. That means by the time he returned back, he was 39 years old. And 39 to 40 years old, that was the duration when he was crowned as the king of Ayodhya. And Ramayana was written when Lava and Kush were born. The same span of 39 to 40 years when Lord Ram was 40 years. So Lord Ramayana is called the Itihas. And this Ramayana is a book that actually saved so many lives. It's a very interesting thing. Even before before the Ramayana was compiled by Valmiki Muni, the Ramayana was spoken many times. There are three instances in the Ramayana itself when Ramayana was spoken and which saved lives. The first instance was when the monkeys were in search of Mother Sita. They had gone all over, you know. And especially the south, the monkeys that went to the south, they went to a place practically the end of the ocean, Rameshwaram, where devotees are going to go today. So the monkeys were there, and the ocean, whole huge ocean was there, and they couldn't find Mother Sita. They didn't have any clue. So they all decided that they were going to fast to death because they were not able to go back, and they didn't want to, you know, just return back with a disappointed face. So they decided to fast to death. They were sitting there and they were fasting. And while they were fasting, one monkey said, "Why are we just fasting? Let us discuss Ramkatha." And then they all started discussing Lord Ram's pastimes. And then while discussing, they came to a point where Lord Ram delivered Jatayu. And just when Lord Ram delivered Jatayu, when they were speaking that, Sampati, the big vulture, he came. Of course, the vulture came thinking that he's going to eat up these monkeys. But when Sampati heard the name Jatayu, immediately he realized that this is connected to my brother. So he stopped and he asked them, "Why are you talking about Jatayu? Do you know him?" And then they explained the whole story to Sampati. And then Sampati gave them the first help of going across the ocean. And he said, Sita is in Lanka. So again, this is the first time where reciting Ramayana saved the lives of the monkeys. And of course, they found Sita. And then the second time was when Hanumanji actually jumped across the ocean and he found Mother Sita. Sita was going to commit suicide because she was completely despondent and Ravana had just come and, you know, given her a warning. And Sita said, "I can't take it anymore. My husband is not coming." So what she did was, she took a hair of her head and she kind of tied it around her neck and she was going to hang on a tree and commit suicide. So while she was going to do that, Hanuman was on top of the tree. And he was thinking that, what should I do now? Should I jump? He thought, if I jump in front of Sita, then Mother Sita, she might die faster, thinking that, you know, another demon has come. A Ravana has come disguised. Right? So he was thinking, what should I do? And then what he decided? Again, he decided to recite Ramayana. From the beginning, from the birth of Lord Ram, till Lord Ram experiencing separation from Mother Sita, and then the monkeys in search of Mother Sita. The whole thing explained. And then that saved Sita's life. She stopped. And the third instance was when Lord Ram came back to Ayodhya, was coming back to Ayodhya. While returning, there was a very interesting thing that, of course, we can discuss that story later. But while returning, they had to stop at Bharadwaj Muni's ashram, because Bharadwaj Muni requested Ram to stay one night. There is a very interesting way in which the verses of Ramayana is a book of climaxes. Constantly, there's a lot of climaxes there. When Hanuman met Sita and he went away, Sita had told him that I have 30 days. I will live for 30 more days. And in 30 days, if Ram comes and saves me, that's okay. But if he doesn't come in 30 days, then I will die. So Hanuman had exactly 30 days to go back to Ram and come back with the holes and kill Ravan also. So this is like a, you know, in any movie, if you see, there is a climax, you know. So Hanuman was, he ran, he jumped back, and then when he landed in the other side of the ocean, he saw that all the monkeys were there. And then he told the monkeys that I found Sita. And he ran, they all ran back. And by the time they reached Kishkindha, Kishkindha was in Karnataka, and Rameshwaram, where the place where the ocean was, is in Tamil Nadu, tip of India. So by the time they reached where Sugriv was, there it took them almost 3 days. You know, of course they did some pastimes in the middle. So they went into the forest of Sugriv, and they destroyed the whole forest. That took them almost 1.5 days, because they became wild with ecstasy. They became very ecstatic. So in that ecstasy, they couldn't control themselves and destroyed the whole forest, Madhuvan forest. And Sugriv would, that forest was very dear to Sugriv. But then when Sugriv got the information that the monkeys had destroyed the forest, Sugriv didn't do anything, because he understood that these people are so ecstatic that they destroyed the forest. And then finally, all the monkeys came back, 3 days. And Lord Ram, he took around 12 days to reach from Kishkindha to Rameshwaram. It took them 3 days, but it took 12 days on return, because there was a huge army with tents and with so many things traveling, you know. And so they took them, it became 15 days now. And 3 days he spent on the ocean shore, meditating for the ocean god to appear. And that became 18 days. And then it took 5 days to build the bridge. That became 23 days. And 7 days of war lasted. So 30 days. Exactly, you know, on the day in which Sita was going to commit suicide, Ram came and saved her. But the story doesn't end there. The climax is still on, because Bharat had made a promise that if Lord Ram even gets 1 day late after the 14 years are over, then he will die. And exactly on the day in which Ravana was killed, that was the 14th, last day of the 14th year. And now Lord Ram had another climax to settle. He had to save Bharat. Therefore, Lord Ram borrowed the Pushpak Viman from Vibhishan. Otherwise, he would have gone back walking. And this was Vibhishan, he said, this is the first time the Pushpak Viman was going to be used for a good cause. Because Ravan was using the Pushpak Viman constantly to kidnap ladies, you know, from different places. And Vibhishan was very happy to give the Pushpak Viman to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram took the Pushpak Viman and he was returning. And while returning, very funny thing, the Pushpak Viman, it is not an airplane of like today's. It's only fixed number of seats. And the two, you can't move also here and there, you know. Pushpak Viman was an expansive airplane. It would actually expand. There were 70 lakh monkeys. And all 70 lakh monkeys comfortably accommodated in the Pushpak Viman. And it's not they were cramped, you know, touching each other. They all had their space. They had trees. They had, you know, palaces. There were unlimited food to eat. So the monkeys were quite happy. And after the Pushpak Viman, you know, and the amazing thing was, Lord Ram was showing Sita around. Like when the Pushpak Viman was going towards Ayodhya, Lord Ram was showing, this is the place where, you know, I met Sugriv. This is the place where I met Hanuman. This is the place where the bridge was built. So showing everything to Mother Sita. Because so many, he wanted to explain to Mother Sita how much trouble he took to find her. And then finally, the Pushpak Viman came over Kishkindha. And then all the monkeys said, what about our wives? You know, Ram is going to be coronated as a king. What about our wives? So all the monkeys wanted to get their wives also along. So Lord Ram said, actually we don't have time. Because for one lady to get ready, it takes a long time. And if 70 lakh and the two monkey ladies have to get ready, it will really going to take a long time. So he said, I can't wait. So then Sita, she intervened and she said, come on, you can't do this. And then they allowed all the monkey ladies to come. 70 lakh more space. The Pushpamangalam was expanded again. And then finally it reached a place where Bharadwaj Muni was there. And Lord Ram wanted to pay obeisances to Bharadwaj Muni and then travel. And Pushpakumar landed, Bharadwaj Muni requested Ram, why don't you stay one night here? And then Ram couldn't say, tell him that Bharat is waiting, I can't go, you know. So he had to oblige to Bharadwaj Muni because he was a senior. And then Ram sent Hanuman ahead. He told Hanuman, you go to Bharat and you tell him that I'm coming. And Hanuman, he jumped and he reached where Bharat was. And Bharat was just preparing a fire to enter into the fire. And Hanuman didn't want to jump in front, you know, because if he jumped, then Bharat would have reacted very badly, because he never knew him. So Hanuman, he sat on top of the tree and again recited the Ramayana. This is the third time where Ramayana actually saved lives. So Ramayana constantly saves lives. And the interesting thing was, in the glory of the Ramayana is mentioned in one sense in the Mahabharata itself, because when Yudhishthira Maharaj met Bhishma at the end of the war, Yudhishthira asked many questions to Bhishma. And one of the questions he asked Bhishma was, what is that verse, what is that chant that we need to do to achieve perfection in the human form of life? And then Bhishma Dev narrated the Vishnu Sahasranam with 1000 names of Lord Vishnu. And then, after he narrated the Vishnu Sahasranam, of course, there was a conversation between Parvati and Shiva, Lord Shiva. And Parvati asked Lord Shiva, Keno Payan Lagunam, Vishnu Nama Sahasrakam, Patyate Pandite Nityam, Srotu Michami Aham Prabhu. She asked Lord Shiva that, chanting the Vishnu Sahasranam takes about 25 minutes. So she was kind of asking a question for all of us. She's saying, where do people have time to chant 25 minutes in Kali Yuga? So she was asking Shiva, is there, first of all, what is Vishnu Sahasranam? It is the essence of the Mahabharata in one sense, because all the Vedas kind of made into essence is what the Mahabharata is for a common man to follow, because common man cannot read the Vedas. So Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata to convey the Vedic understanding in a story form. And within the Mahabharata is the Vishnu Sahasranam, which Bhishma Dev claims is to be the essence of all the Vedic understanding. So names of Vishnu. And then Parvati is asking that essence of the Vedas, she's saying that is there anything shorter than that? And then Lord Shiva, he mentions this, Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varanane. She says that chanting the names of Lord Ram is actually the essence of Vishnu Sahasranam. You chant the names of Lord Ram three times, as good as chanting the whole of Vishnu Sahasranam. And the amazing thing is, three names of Lord Ram is equal to one name of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is such an essence of the essence of the essence of Vedic literature. Therefore, it's so easy in this age to access the whole Vedic literature in the names of Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. So, anyway, coming back to our understanding, the glory of Ramayana, this is the glory of Ramayana. How was the Ramayana composed? Of course, I'll not go into details. But I'll mention some things and then we will discuss some other very interesting aspects of the Ramayana. The way in which Ramayana was composed was Valmiki Muni. He was traveling. He and Bharadwaj Muni, both of them. Bharadwaj Muni was a disciple of Valmiki. And they had gone to take a bath one day. Generally, they would go into the Sarayu River to have a bath. But that particular day, they decided to go into the Damasa River. Somehow, they decided to go into the Damasa River. They had bath in the Damasa River and they came out. And when they came out of the Damasa River, they suddenly developed a desire to go into one garden. Generally, saintly people don't have such, you know, funny desires of doing something out of the context. You know, like there was one cricket match in which there was a Buddhist monk attending the cricket match. And practically in the whole cricket match, the television was capturing the Buddhist monk only, because he was out of place. In the whole cricket match, cricket stadium, this one man was out of place. Because where do saints have to do with, you know, a mundane match? So this man was very inquisitive. So they felt out of place. So therefore, when Valmiki Muni and Bharadwaj Muni, they went into the garden to see what's happening in the garden, it's actually out of place, out of context. They don't need to go into a garden. Therefore, the understanding is that they went into the garden is not their own desire, but is actually the will of the Lord, which took them into the garden. And then as soon as they entered into the garden, what they saw? They saw that there was a male crunch bird and a female crunch bird sitting there. And there was a hunter who shot an arrow and killed the female bird. And when the female bird died, the Valmiki Muni, he was in agony. He was lamenting. Because this is the nature of a saintly person, that when he sees any living entity in pain, he experiences great amount of suffering. The same Valmiki Muni, who was a hunter himself a few years back, he was experiencing great agony when one bird is killed. Just see what transformation happens when one takes up to spirituality. One becomes very sensitive to everything, each and everything. Valmiki, who was killing animals and deriving great pleasure, the same Valmiki was experiencing great pain seeing this bird die. And his shoka, his lamentation, came out in the form of a shloka. His great experience of lamentation, he cursed the hunter in the form of a shloka. And that curse was that, he said that, this was the first shloka he composed. And when he cursed the hunter, he himself was very surprised. Because he is not used to cursing. He is not like Vishwanathamuni, constantly cursing people. The first time he actually cursed somebody, and he was feeling very bad. Why did I curse? And then he was like, when he was lamenting, Lord Brahma appeared, and Lord Brahma kind of pacified him, saying that what you spoke was not ordinary words. What you spoke were powerful words. And then he explained, Brahmaji explained to Valmiki Muni that why do you think that you have spoken the wrong words? Then he changed the whole meaning of the shloka. The shloka he composed was Manishta Pratishdhatum Agama Satvati Samaha Ek Kronja Mithuna Thigam Avati Kama Mohita. He said that, O hunter, he cursed the hunter, saying that, O hunter, you have separated one bird from the other. Let inauspiciousness come upon you. And not just for some time, for thousands and thousands of years. This is the verse that Valmiki Muni uttered. But Brahmaji just changed the whole word. He says, generally, ma in Sanskrit means not. And manisha, he said, manishatha means not. You know, inauspicious. Basically, this word indicates inauspiciousness. So when Brahmaji told Valmiki that you should not take the word manishata as inauspiciousness, but you should take it as ma. Ma means mata or mother. It refers to Mother Lakshmi. And then he changed the whole meaning of the verse. He said that the one who has Lakshmi residing in his heart, in his chest, let auspiciousness come upon him for thousands and thousands of years. This referred to Lord Srinivas, who is Lord Krishna, Balaji. So he changed the whole meaning of the word. Of the shloka. And then Brahmaji explained to Valmiki that I myself instructed Saraswati to enter into your mouth and come out in the form of this shloka. And he told them that this shloka is not a curse, but it is actually the first composition of the Ramayana. And Brahmaji instructed Valmiki Muni that you should make the whole Ramayana in the same meter and in the same tone as this verse. And with this instruction, Brahmaji said, you will receive all empowerment. You sit and meditate on Lord Ram's pastimes. And everything will be revealed in your heart like a television transmission. Everything will be revealed in your heart. And Valmiki actually sat down and meditated. And the whole Ramayana, all the pastimes of Lord Ram were enacted within his heart. And he could actually experience all the sentiments that Lord Ram experienced. And therefore, he could compile the book, the Ramayana. And the Ramayana begins with the whole book, the Ramayana, is about shelter. It's actually about taking shelter. And I'll just probably describe a few things about the birth of Lord Ram, and then I'll discuss about the mercy factor of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. I'll not go into the details, like Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning, all of us have heard the Ramayana hundreds of times before, so we don't need to go into specific details of every verse, but we will just go into some details of some interesting understandings. the beginning of the Ramayana describes about the birth of Lord Ram, and when it describes about the birth of Lord Ram, the birth of Lord Ram is described in this word as Vishnu Artham. Vishnu Artham means one who is a part of Lord Vishnu, half of Lord Vishnu, like that it mentions. But somebody, if he hears this word that Lord Ram is a part of Lord Vishnu, he must misunderstand that Vishnu is being divided, you know, or in this cleaving of the Vishnu Tattva. That is not the fact. The understanding is that Vishnu, the name Vishnu also indicates the fruit of the sacrifice. Like when you do a yajna, the fruits of the sacrifice are also called Vishnu, right? And therefore, what came out of the fruit of the sacrifice of Dasharatha Maharaj was kheer or payasam. That is also considered to be Vishnu. And then half of that payasam was given to Kaushalya. So Lord Ram, when he is called as Vishnu Artham, it means that Lord Ram was born from the half of the sacrifice, you know, that is the fruit of the sacrifice. And then the other half was divided into two halves. Actually, two halves. And the second half was divided into two more halves. That was the way in which the payasam was divided. The second half, which is the major portion, was given to Sumitra. And then, out of the third half, which was again divided into half, half was given again to Sumitra, and the other half was given to Kaikeyi. And thus, the four brothers were born, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. And Ram was born from Kaushalya, Bharat was born from Kaikeyi, and Shatrughna and Lakshman were born from Sumitra. And the interesting thing was, when Lord Ram was born, the stars, there are two stars which are mentioned, which are kind of very interesting stars. The names of the stars are Purva Bhadra and Uttara Bhadra. Purva Bhadra and Uttara Bhadra. These are two stars. And the way in which these stars are, they always are in pairs. They always are in pairs. They stay two together, two stars. And why this particular stars are mentioned is because these four brothers, they were always in pairs. Ram and Lakshman were always together. And Bharat and Shatrughna were always together. And a very, very interesting story is mentioned in the Kamba Ramayana about how united these two pairs were. This is, of course, it's a very kind of a rasika story. It's a very just a pastime, but it's very interesting. Once Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna, they were kept in four cradles, and the cradles were kept in the house, and Ram was kept in the first one, then Bharat was kept in the second one, Lakshman in the third one, and Shatrughna in the fourth one. And all of them were crying. They were crying constantly. And all the mothers were thinking, how to make them stop crying? They gave them toys, they gave them so many things, but they were not stopping. So then finally, Vasishtha came in to the house. And he saw these four children crying. So he said, I know what's how to make them stop crying. He said, exchange the cradles. You know, he said, put Lakshman's cradle next to Ram and put Bharat's cradle next to Shatrughna. They changed the cradles and immediately the volume of the crying decreased. You know, they were crying less. And then Vasishtha realized that something more is wrong. He said, it's not over. Then what he said, remove Lakshman from his cradle and put him in the same cradle as Ram. And remove Shatrughna from the cradle and put him in the same cradle as Bharat. And when they were put, they all stopped crying. So the point was, Ram and Lakshman were inseparable from birth, practically. And Bharat and Shatrughna were inseparable from birth. So Lord Ram, the purpose of these four incarnations is described. Lord Ram, of course, this is one way, one level of explaining. There are many levels of understanding what is the purpose of these four incarnations. But on a practical level, this is the understanding. Lord Ram came to prove that the elders must be always listened to, whatever it is. He was representing this. Even if Dasharatha was wrong, no problem. I'll listen to him. He came to prove, make that point. Lakshman, he came that to make the point that the Lord has to always be served. And Bharat, he came to make the point that serving, one should serve the Lord as per the wish of the Lord. So the difference between Lakshman and Bharat, The difference is that Lakshman, he came to serve the body of the Lord. And Bharat came to serve the words of the Lord, the wish of the Lord. And Shatrughna, he came to serve the devotee of the Lord. So for him, his main concern was serving Bharat. He was not concerned about serving Ram so much. He was concerned about serving Bharat. So these four personalities indicate four different things. And of course, there is one devotee mentioning what Sita's incarnation was for. Sita, this is at one level. There are many deeper levels also. But Sita came to indicate that women folk have to always be subservient to the husband. And if the husband is doing the right thing, just follow. But the moment the husband is doing the wrong thing, correct. This is what Sita indicates. And definitely Sita did that many instances in the Ramayana. Whenever Lord Ram did something wrong, she immediately chastised. She immediately corrected. Right? And these four words, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna, indicate four different things. Ram indicates Ramanti, that means the pleasure potency of the Lord. That means the one who experiences great amount of pleasure, and chanting whose names, devotees experience a great amount of pleasure. And Bharat indicates that he experiences the burden of ruling the kingdom when Lord Ram was not there. Bhara. Bhara Raja Bharanta Bibharti Iti Bharata. He experiences burden. And Lakshmana indicates Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampanna. That means, indicates that Lakshmi, that is, what is Lakshmi in this case? Not wealth. Wealth of service to Lord Ram. And Shatrughna, this word is very interesting. Shatru means enemy and Ghna means killing. And what is Shatrughna? Shatrughna is a person who kills his enemies. But in history of the Ramayana, Shatrughna never killed any enemy. He killed only one person, Lavanasur. Other than that, there is no mention of Shatrughna killing anybody. But what is the meaning of his name then? Vedic names are not whimsical. They have very planned names. Shatrughna, his enemy was devotion to Lord Ram. Lord Ram was a Lord, of course. And naturally, anybody would want to serve him. But Shatrughna, for Shatrughna, serving Lord Ram or the face of Lord Ram, the beauty of Lord Ram was the enemy. Because he wanted to serve Bharat. Because the attraction of serving Lord Ram was so much that he had to kill that enemy to serve Bharat. Right? So therefore, this is of course a very high level of understanding for us, serving the devotee, serving the Lord, at least he's serving somebody. But for Shatrughna, he had to, you know, deal with that enemy of serving Lord Ram, desiring to serve Lord Ram. Anyway, the point is that how these four brothers, Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna and Bharat, were inseparable and they were always staying together. And just to conclude, there are many other things we will discuss. Again, we will continue this narration on Tuesday. But just to summarize, there was one pastime of how Lord Ram is so merciful to the devotees, and how Lakshman even supports Lord Ram to being more merciful, and how Sita is even more merciful. Lakshman, there was a pastime where they were in the ocean and the ocean god was not coming out to help Lord Ram. Lord Ram said, I want to destroy the whole ocean. So what he told Lakshman, go and get my bow and arrow. So Lakshman went and he only got the bow. He didn't get the arrow. So Lord Ram was angry. He said, come on, what is the meaning of getting the bow? You get the arrow also. So Lakshman, generally, when somebody says, I want to kill you, when Lord Ram says, kill him, so Lakshman is more proactive. He's like, you know, almost killed that person already. He's like anger personified. And in this case, Ram is telling him, go and get my bow and arrow. He's only got the bow. So it's like little out of the context. Not like Lakshman. And then Lakshman went, he got the arrow. He got small arrows. So Lord Ram said, what are the use of these small arrows? Get my Brahmastra, get my big arrows. So Lakshman, he went and reluctantly got the big arrows. Somebody might ask, why is Lakshman acting like this? Why is Lakshman acting so funny? So the answer is that when two servants work under the same master, the servants support each other. So the ocean god, Samudradev, was also a servant of Lord Ram, and Lakshman also a servant of Lord Ram. And here Ram wanted to destroy one of his servants. So naturally the second servant is supporting him, you know, acting to support. This is exactly how Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda act. When Lord Chaitanya gets angry, Nityananda supports. And when Lord Nityananda gets angry, Lord Chaitanya supports. You know, so this is constantly the mood of Lord Ram and Lakshman. And Lakshman supported the ocean god. And then finally, Lord Ram got the arrow and bow. And he wanted to shoot the ocean god. And while he was going to release the arrow, that time the ocean came and surrendered to Ram. And the moment somebody surrenders to Ram, Ram's mood changes completely. Here, 1 minute back, he was angry on the ocean god. He wanted to destroy. And the moment he surrendered, he asked ocean god, okay, tell me who are your enemies, I want to destroy your enemies. The same arrow, he said, my bow and arrow can't go in vain. I have to kill somebody, you tell me who are your enemies. So here, first he wanted to destroy him, and then now he's saying, I want to destroy your enemies. The mood of the Lord changes completely. So the Lord has two eyes. One is the sun and one is the moon. Because the sun is fire, that means anger personified. And the moon is cooling, mercy personified. So if somebody surrenders to the Lord, the moon eyes see him. But if somebody doesn't surrender to the Lord, the sun eyes see him. But Sita Devi's eyes are compared to two moons. Sita doesn't have sun, two moons. So therefore, to take shelter of Lord Ram, it is better to take shelter of Sita Devi. With 100% guarantee that she will give shelter. And therefore, to take shelter of Krishna, we need to take shelter of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, this is the mercy potency of the Lord is more prominent in the consort of the Lord. Of course, we will end our narration here. And we'll continue later. So if anybody has any quick questions or comments, you can take up. Otherwise, you can stop here. It's already late. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Ramayana Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki,